I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, buddy! Hey, buddy! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get BB!
We get BB!
Pro BB!
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Hey, doing great. How are you guys tonight?
We are all pumped up because the Bears got a little quarterback issue, and lo and behold, it's going to be solved for them on Saturday if they choose to attend.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. Unless you want me to just go for the next 10 minutes. I mean, this whole thing, it is such a farce. It is such a sham. Any team can bring in any player anytime they want for a workout. There are dozens of guys who get worked out every week by NFL teams. Some will have up to 20 guys show up, especially during a bye week. If anybody wanted to work out Colin Kaepernick, he's a phone call away. The idea that they're setting up this dog and pony show in Atlanta for any team to send some low-level slappy down there to see what he can do, it's just ridiculous to me. There's something else going on here, whether it's a PR strategy or it's an effort to avoid a second grievance that would be filed under the collective bargaining agreement alleging collusion or retaliation or both. I think that that's what the league is up to here. This isn't about helping Colin Kaepernick. If they want to help Colin Kaepernick, the way to do it is make some phone calls, trade some horses behind the scenes, do what they did when they tried to get Michael Sam a job when he was in the draft 5 years ago. That's the way to do it, not by having this phony made-for-TV, even though it's not going to be on TV, workout.
Okay, Mike, devil's advocate. So even if all that you say is true, and I can be as cynical as the next guy, and I don't dismiss any of that, but let's just say that one team shows up, or five teams, however many teams show up, and the NFL, this is, even though it may be farcical and maybe it's a stunt and maybe it's cover for the team's cowardice, seeing is believing. And if Kaepernick does what he says that he's capable of doing, and he's in shape and he's in rhythm and he looks good, and this leads to something meaningful, isn't it worth all of the other stuff? And isn't it, you know, if you can find a player, no matter how the circumstances, what they were, to get him in front of you, once he's in front of you and he performs, isn't that the main thing?
Well, yeah, but look, if there's any curiosity, and you look at all the guys who have jobs in the NFL at various levels of depth charts, if you have any curiosity about Colin Kaepernick, remember the first thing the commissioner said throughout the initial stages of the shunning of Colin Kaepernick is that everyone wants to win, so they're going to do what's going to help them win. So if they think Colin Kaepernick helps them win, they'll sign Colin Kaepernick. Well, you would like to think at some point in the last 3 years, somebody would have brought the guy in for a workout. Bring him in and see what he can do. And see what he can do under the guidance of your assistant coaches. And let your personnel people watch him in your facility. Not at some, you know, 32-year-old pro day workout that has never happened before. So I guess there's a way the dominoes fall where someone says, oh, wow, geez, we were wrong about this guy, but yeah, I think we all know what's been going on with Colin Kaepernick. They don't like him because, number one, he protested during the national anthem. Number two, it created a large segment of the population that is unable to differentiate why he protested versus the notion that he disrespected the flag, the military, and the country. And then number three, he made other players aware of the rights that they have to do the same thing, and they've had a bias against him ever since. And I think it's too late for them to try to put the toothpaste back in the tube. And it's so odd. Why would you be doing it now? Do it in July. Do it at a time when the coaches can attend if they want to attend. Nobody's going to show up for this thing on a Saturday other than these low-level guys. I mean, I don't disagree with the notion that maybe accidentally something positive happens out of this for Colin Kaepernick, but I don't think it's being set up for something positive to happen for Colin Kaepernick. I think it's being set up to cover someone's butt somewhere in the event that that Kaepernick decides to further pursue his legal rights against the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious. The league can say, look what we did. Look, we brought this. Oh, this is fantastic. We tried everything. I'm with you, Mike. Since I heard about it, it just seems like a PR stunt. Doesn't seem like there's much sincerity behind it. I mean,
Consider this. He asked, can we do it on a Tuesday? They said no. And then he said, can we do it next Saturday instead of this Saturday so people have more of a chance to prepare for it? They said no. Then he asked for a list of who's going to be there. They said they're not giving it to him. I mean, if this was all about bending over backwards to help him, it wouldn't feel like it's pulling teeth for him to get basic cooperation. It's just like, here, this is what we're giving you. And if you know, what happens if he doesn't go? If he doesn't go, the talking point for the rest of his potential career would be he had a chance and he didn't take it. And now we're protected against, you know, any pressure that anyone could put on us to potentially try to sign him because he had his chance to work out and he didn't show up for it.
I'm very interested to talk about the possibility of the league and the Players Association getting a deal completed. There's a story, you guys have a story about, I guess it was Mark Maskey that from the Washington Post that reported the new collective bargaining agreement could be figured out quickly, and it would include a 17-game season. It would include a couple more playoff teams, and it would include limiting the preseason.
Yeah, and here's the thing. And people in the business get nervous when we start talking about whose sources are saying what and where people are getting their information from. But it's been clear to me over the past 10 years or so, when someone from the league office wants to get something out, they call Mark Maskey, the Washington Post. So this has the fingerprints of someone at 345 Park Avenue who's trying to create this sense that this thing is moving toward a conclusion. I'm told by someone on the other side of the bargaining table it's not close and that early 2020 isn't a realistic deadline. March, when the new league year begins, that's the point where the two sides realize they need to get it done by then. And when you're talking about a multi-billion dollar negotiation like this, you need to have a deadline that both sides agree to. And March, for a variety of reasons. Number one, the rules of the final year of the CBA kick in. Number two, there are NFLPA elections that could turn the leadership of the union on its head and possibly undo some of the progress that's been made depending upon who gets elected to what. So both sides want to get this done by March, and I fully expect 17 games. I don't know how I feel about the likelihood of an agreement on expanding the playoffs, because Maskey makes the assertion in his article that the league doesn't need the approval of the union to go to 14 playoff teams, which is just flat out incorrect. And it makes me feel like the league has tried to get the union to agree and they won't. So they're just taking the position they can do it if they want to do it. So I'm a little skeptical about that wrinkle in it, but I think 17 games is basically a foregone conclusion. And also the fact that there hasn't been constant reporting about what they're fighting about and efforts to spin this and to get the media and the fans on one side or the other, it tells me both sides recognize there's value in getting this done, because what they're going to do as soon as they have this deal done, if not before then, they're going to pivot to the networks and they're going to cash in even bigger on the next wave of TV deals if they have 17 games. And also, the networks understand the numbers are going up because of the spread of legalized wagering. And I think the union and the league understand we need to stay on the same page because we collectively stand to make a lot more money than we're already making if we can just hold this thing together.
Mike, here in Chicago, the conversation continues to revolve around Mitch Trubisky. And this week, the Tribune took a deep dive into looking back at the 2017 draft and revealed that Ryan Pace did not have a one-on-one meeting with Deshaun Watson before the draft. And he did with Patrick Mahomes, and he certainly did with Mitch Trubisky. In your experience talking to agents and just covering the league, the last meeting, that one-on-one meeting, is typically the final evaluation, but not the major part of the evaluation. How egregious of an oversight was that by Ryan Pace, and what do you think about its revelation now?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's not something you accidentally fail to do. if you don't do it, there's a reason why you didn't do it. And I'd be very curious to know what it is that turned Ryan Pace off to Deshaun Watson to the point where he didn't even do it. Because a lot of times what will happen is, you know, number one, first of all, if you're going to do your due diligence on the quarterback class, you do the same work for all of them before you make your final decision about which guy you want. And secondly, sometimes there's benefit in, you know, dotting all I's and crossing all T's and talking to every guy, because you assume this information some way, somehow is going to get out. And as you're trying to play that game of getting the player that you want at the best possible value in the best possible spot, you don't want to have something out there, if it gets out there, that there wasn't a meeting with Deshaun Watson and you focused instead on others. You want people to think that you've got equal focus on all of them. So look, there had to have been a reason not to do it. Like I said, I don't think it was done accidentally, but it's just odd to me, and I'd love to know what Ryan Pace saw or didn't see in Deshaun Watson to just basically take him off the board. I mean, if you're not going to go through with that interview, you've essentially taken the guy off your board.
Yeah, I mean, they never had an intention to draft him, period, end of story. So I guess that must explain
but
it.
But why? And, but what is it?
You know,
is,
he
I
was
read that article.
I'm guessing, what
did they see?
I'm guessing that, you know, he had a couple of knee injuries, and they wondered about whether or not he could hold up in the NFL given his size and all the rest of it. I think it was the obvious problems that we all saw. And, you know, I would have taken him for Mitchell Trubisky. I think the mistake they made for me was they didn't have enough information. The guy was 8-5. He hadn't elevated his program. He hadn't played enough games. It was, you're trying to find Drew Brees, and Drew Brees had an entirely different career than this guy.
And here's the thing, too, as I mentioned, the importance of keeping your intentions as close to the vest as possible. There was a group of very competent and skilled quarterback evaluators and coaches who loved Patrick Mahomes,
yep,
and didn't say anything to anybody about it. Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Mike McCarthy, and a few others, they knew what Mahomes was going to be. And even though Mahomes was only taken two spots above Watson, and right now Watson, I think, has kind of closed the gap with Mahomes, in their mind, it wasn't even close. That Watson was a very good quarterback, but that Mahomes is a generational talent, and they just loved him. And it's amazing to me that they kept it so quiet. Because let me tell you, if they hadn't managed to keep it quiet, he would have been, in all the mock drafts and all the media projections, a guy who would have been regarded as a top five pick, and it may have forced the Chiefs to go up a lot higher than they did to get him.
Okay, Mike, Sunday Night Football will be between the Rams and the Bears. Will it be framed as an elimination game?
It kind of feels like an elimination game in the NFC. Look at all those teams that have 6, 7, 8 wins. It's going to be almost impossible with 6 games left to climb over enough teams to get into position for a playoff berth. You know, for the Bears, isn't it weird? It feels like they're so much worse than 4-5.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams, at 5-4, it's kind of like, my gosh, I can't believe their record's that bad. You look at the Bears and you say 4-5, I can't believe their record's that good. So, you know, I think it works as an elimination game, although I don't believe either team's going to make it to the playoffs. But the one who loses on Sunday night is going to have a heck of a lot harder time, that's for sure.
Mike, thanks a ton. We appreciate it
as always.
Good
stuff, Mike. Thank you.
All right, see you guys.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.